Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting. Kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master show. This week on a Friday, hope you will bear with us. Of course, we usually have a exciting new trend in finance and accounting to discuss with you. And today we also have a guest. Let's bring Stephanie up on stage just to give an introduction. Hello, Stephanie. Welcome so much to the Hashtag Finance Master show. It's great to have you here. Excited to hear your insights. But maybe before we get into the content, maybe you just want to give an introduction to yourself.
Yes, thank you very much, Andrew, for having invited me. So I'm a CFO. I'm based in London, and I've been leading the ESG initiative.
Great. And of course, the circular economy is a big part of ESG in general, which we have talked a lot about on this channel here. So of course, now we are talking about a very specific thing within the whole ESG topic, but excited also to hear your insights there, Stephanie. We have lots of questions prepared for you, but before we get into the questions, let's just tune in on some of the topics for today. Yesterday morning, European time, we released the blog post called How to Get Started with Circular Economy in Finance. So sustainability is no longer a choice. It's a mandate for businesses worldwide. The transition toward more sustainable practices is not just a response to regulatory pressures or stakeholder expectations. It's an opportunity to innovate and thrive. Among the most impactful shifts is adopting the circular economy, a model designed to reduce waste, extend product life cycles, and regenerate natural systems. This paradigm requires a new set of tools, metrics, and approaches for finance teams as well. Moving from linear to circular business models involves more than operational changes. It fundamentally transforms how we account for resources, measure performance, and report success. We see the circular economy accounting as one of the top trends in finance and accounting for 2025. In today's show, we'll explore the principles of the circular economy, its implications for finance, and actionable steps to help finance professionals lead their organizations into this new era of sustainable business. And I have to say that seeing what, for instance, some of the modern ERP systems can do today in terms of the whole ESG reporting suite, we're going to get so much more data and insights into these types of business models. And even if you're not completely revamping your business model, you can still report and see how circular it is. And you're going to need to make some significant improvements here no matter what. So it's great that we're going to get data and numbers on this, because that means we in finance can actually work on it. But maybe you're new to the circular economy, so let's just check in on what it actually is. At its core, the circular economy challenges the traditional take, make, dispose model. Instead of extracting resources, producing goods, and discarding them, a circular economy emphasizes designing how to waste and pollution, keeping products and materials in use, and regenerating natural systems. For businesses, this translates to practices like recycling, refurbishing, reusing materials, and designing products with longer lifespan. Result, reduced environmental impact, and maybe for this show, importantly, new avenues for economic growth. A question for you, Stephanie, have you, in your work with ESG and everything, have you had any involvement with the circular economy business models so far in some of your work?
Yes, of course. So as I mentioned, ESG and circular economy are related, even in the extent concept. However, in both cases, finance teams play a critical role in both of these aspects. So I would say that they have like kind of five, I would say, major roles in which they are defining together with the company the company objective and the targets. So their roles of finance leaders is really to embrace the leadership team and the entire organization on this concept, which is a really game changer for the future. It also helps measuring the impact, so integrating the sustainability metrics into the financial reporting and evaluating the long-term benefit of the circular activities. Then it's also a key role on doing allocation for capital, because determining the return of investment of the circular initiative, it's a different calculation, and in such as investing in a recycling program and sustainable supply chain, for example. Then, of course, it has to do something which is related to the measurement of the impact, because as finance leaders and as finance teams, we have to integrate the sustainability metrics into their financial reporting and evaluating this long-term benefits, driving the accountability, because we need to ensure the sustainability goals are translated into our figures and the budget and the KPIs of the company. And finally, the last thing, which is not necessarily the most, it's probably for the time being the most moving, is navigating inside the regulation, because it's an evolving, the laws are still evolving, and emission, waste and calculation, and resources as well.
Thanks a lot for sharing those thoughts, Stephanie. I think there are two points, especially I want to highlight. The first one you make is defining the overall objective for the business. We've really been trying to push also finance professionals to push their companies in the direction of saying, this is not something that's separate to what you do as a business and an initiative that you take on. No, you take it into the core of your business model, of your business strategy, and transform the way you do things, right? So that is really where it starts. And then the second thing is where you ended with the regulation and all the reporting that follows there. That is necessary, and that's not a task we can just disregard. We must do that. We just want to urge companies, but certainly also finance professionals, to also do the other thing and make it a part of how you do business and not just something. So thanks a lot for those insights, Stephanie. We'll get back to you a little bit later. Why finance teams actually play a critical role in the circular economy initiatives? Stephanie already talked a little bit about it, but let's dig further into that. The shift to a circular economy is not just an operational change. It's a financial transformation as well. Finance teams are uniquely positioned to enable this transition by allocating capital, so determining the return on investment of circular initiatives, such as investing in recycling programs or sustainable supply chains, measuring the impact, integrating them into financial reporting, and evaluating long-term benefits, driving accountability, so ensuring that goals are embedded into budget forecast, and navigating the regulation as well, so managing the compliance and so on. For most finance teams, it starts by simply understanding how to record transactions. So we must first understand what to measure and record as well. So what could be some of the key financial metrics for the circular economy models as well? I think finance teams must rethink their metrics and reporting frameworks to integrate circular economy principles successfully. So here are some of the most critical metrics to consider. First is carbon credits. So with the rise of carbon trading schemes, tracking carbon credits has become essential. Finance teams must measure emissions, calculate offsets, and account for carbon credits as assets and liabilities. Then you have cost savings from recycling, for example. The circular models often reduce cost by reusing materials or minimizing waste. Finance teams should track savings generated through recycling initiatives and evaluate their contribution to profitability. And we have sustainability KPIs. Metrics like water usage, energy consumption, and waste reduction should be integrated into financial KPIs. These measures help quantify the environmental impact of business operations. Product lifecycle cost. Understanding a product's full lifecycle cost, including maintenance, refurbishment, and end-of-life recycling, is critical for assessing the financial viability of circular initiatives. And finally, revenue from secondary markets. So many circular models generate additional revenue streams, such as selling refurbished goods or recycled materials. Finance teams should track these earnings and evaluate their impact on price performance. I remember, at least from my days in shipping, of course, shipping is about shipping goods back and forth between different destinations, and we use containers for container shipping. But sometimes the containers near the end of their useful life for shipping purposes, but they could still be used for other purposes. So we had a container sales division as well. That's like a secondary market. It wasn't a big business by any means, but it was still a reasonable sized business that would generate revenue in such a secondary market, if you will. So the direct financial benefits of these new business models are clear. However, it's also essential to consider profitability and link the costs related to the business model. Otherwise, the circular economy will not be financially sustainable. With that said, we'll try to get a bit more practical and see how finance can get started. But before that, let's just check in with you again, Stephanie. Some of the metrics we mentioned here, do you think they make sense, or are there other things that you think are relevant for finance to consider?
No, I think you mentioned all of them. As we mentioned, financial teams are critical in supporting this circular economy, and especially providing the necessary outlook for the capital needs, the risk management, and the strategic insight to drive the sustainability initiative. And probably one thing it's important to keep in mind is the investment in circular model business, because often this requires significant upfront investment, and is needed to be calculated on a long-term run. And this is usually where finance can help also to calculate the cost savings related to these investments.
I think that makes a lot of sense. But you can say one thing is to actually decide what we want to measure. I think the other thing, and especially with all the reporting requirements that are coming at us now and in the space of ESG, do you think we'll be able to actually realistically measure these things, at least in the short term, or do you think we'll have challenges in actually measuring these metrics?
Of course, metrics will be definitely possible to measure, but it takes a little bit of time and we may have some challenge because it's still an evolving environment, and standardizing the metrics and the developing robust measurement framework is key currently. So I'm sure we will be able to manage that. And thanks to advanced technology, data analytics, and growing emphasizing of this sustainable reporting, it will become increasingly feasible to measure these metrics.
That's great to hear. I think a lot of finance professionals out there need a bit of comforting in these days where they're trying to work towards actually being able to report on this, especially if you're in Europe and need to report on the CSRD, that, you know, I know how much work it actually takes for the finance teams out there. So great to hear those insights, Stephanie. Thanks a lot. We'll get back a little bit later with even more questions to hear more insights from you. And meanwhile, before we get back to the content, just checking in the audience here, I can see we have Comfort from Nigeria, Alex from Brazil, Rafael from the UK, who's a data scientist looking to transition into financial analysis. Usually it goes the other way, so excited to hear about that, Rafael. So how to get started if you're in finance and working on the circular economy. So transitioning to a circular economy can feel overwhelming, but breaking it down into manageable steps usually helps finance teams to take action. So here's a simple roadmap for you to follow. Step number one is to understand the circular economy model. Finance professionals must grasp the basics of the circular economy and its relevance to the industry. Of course, different industries, they are impacted in different ways. Build foundational knowledge. They should attend workshops or read case studies and consult with sustainability experts. Maybe reach out to someone like Stephanie as well, who's also been working in this field. An example could be a fashion company's finance team that learns about closed loop systems where fabric waste is recycled into new garments, reducing dependency on virgin materials. There's no doubt about that the fashion industry is one of those that are really heavily targeted because it does have a huge impact on the environment. So I think there's a big step to be made. And of course, finance team should be a part of that. Step number two is to collaborate across departments. So the Circular Economy Initiative requires cross-functional collaboration. Finance teams certainly can't do anything alone, that's for sure. So we must work closely with the supply chain, operations, and sustainability teams if you have those, to align goals and resources. One example could be a manufacturing firm, where the finance teams partners with operations to evaluate their ROI of switching to recycled raw materials, incorporating these costs into the budget. We were actually with a company just earlier this week, where for their shipping and transportation, they were using pallets, pretty normal and standard, but they were always buying new pallets. And of course, that is costly, but it also has an environmental impact. So instead, their finance manager, he looked into, couldn't they just use grade A refurbished pallets would have 90% quality compared to the new ones. And it was not a problem at all. So there was both an environmental impact, but also a 54% cost saving. Here it really goes hand in hand with the circular economy and actually financial benefits. So don't sleep on this out there. Step number three is to develop new financial models. Traditional financial models often overlook the long-term benefits of circular practices. Finance teams should adopt models that account for tangible and intangible benefits, such as brand reputation or regulatory compliance. One example could be a consumer electronics company that develops a financial model to validate the profitability of refurbishing returned products and reselling them at a lower price point. We see that a lot, for instance, with Apple products, right, where they could have a much longer useful life with refurbishment comes into the picture. Step number four is to track and report sustainability metrics. Integrate sustainability metrics into your financial reports, just like Stephanie was talking about, and your dashboards. This transparency aligns with regulatory requirements and build trust with stakeholders. One example could be a food company that includes metrics like water savings, sustainable farming practices, and reduction in packaging waste in its annual financial report. Because you can, of course, still make a separate sustainability report, but it's much better if it goes into your annual financial report and also something that you do more frequently, perhaps, than just on an annual basis. So definitely do more there. And the systems today, as I mentioned already earlier, they can already do a lot. I've seen like an ESG control tower in one ERP system that had all these metrics that you needed. Step number five, speaking about systems, invest in technology. Technology plays a crucial role in managing circular initiatives. From AI-powered analytics to perhaps even blockchain for tracking supply chains, finance teams must invest in tools supporting data-driven decision-making. One example could be a logistics firm that uses blockchain to verify the origin and sustainability of materials, ensuring compliance with circular economy principles. Now, this was actually a real product that was established in the shipping industry, where different players came together and say, we need to have all the players like ports and shipping companies and whatnot involved in this. Then they could actually use the blockchain for recording shipping documentation and all the handover points. So again, real use case here. Final step number six, engage stakeholders. Communicate the value of circular economy initiatives to internal and external stakeholders. This includes educating employees, engaging investors, and aligning with customers, growing demand for sustainability. Final example here, a retailer that hosts an investor briefing to showcase how circular economy practices drive cost savings and customer loyalty. So most companies have worked with tracking these metrics by now, but it's primarily been a manual effort. So companies must find better ways to manage this than spreadsheets. And we see 2025 as a year of sustainability reporting transformation. Obviously, reporting is not the only challenge, and we're going to dig into a few more. But I just wanted to check in with you, Stephanie. So all the steps that we have outlined here, does that sound like a feasible plan to get started?
Yes, for sure. And we need to be very positive because in any transformation, the journeys of the circular economy comes with some challenge. And these are the challenges, is how to fix this standard metrics, as you mentioned. So benchmarking is sometimes difficult, but it will take time and we will arrive there. Up cost front, of course, is also a challenge, is how much we are ready to invest now for the long-term return. And finally, the return for change, the resistance for change is also something that we need as finance teams to consider. But I'm sure we will go through that.
So maybe staying with that, Stephanie, mm-hmm. What advice would you share with finance professionals to overcome some of these challenges here?
I think the finance can be critical in this change by playing a pivotal role with shaping this sustainable future inside the company. So it's something that's collaboration with cross-department, being the champion of the initiative models. This is something that definitely the finance can do, and they have to be inside the game because it's going to be the next frontier of the finance teams.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for sharing that as well, Stephanie. We'll get back to you at the end of the show also with some final remarks. And let's see here, we have a Linda user saying, I feel the key consideration in the financial model itself is validity and assumptions. Wouldn't you say? And yes, of course, if you want to create a financial model for the circular economy, it's of course also about the input you have into it. But there you need to test, fail, and learn to understand what works and how it can drive the right decision making in the company. We're all learning in this space here. There's no right or wrong. We have to just experiment on the way. So thanks a lot for sharing that. So let's just continue to discuss some of these challenges here. So of course, like with any transformation, the journey to a circular economy comes with challenges. And here's how to address some of them. Stephanie gave a lot already with the standardized metrics, upfront cost, and resistance to change. The good thing is that there are front runners that we can learn from this field. So we'll look at some of the early success stories in circular economy accounting. We have IKEA, their circular furniture program. IKEA has embraced the circular economy by refurbishing and reselling used furniture. The finance team plays a key role in tracking the program's cost savings, revenue, and sustainability impact. Another well-known ESG player, if you will, Patagonia's Worn Wear Initiative. So Patagonia encourages customers to repair and reuse their outdoor gear. By monetizing the resale of refurbished items, the company has created a profitable secondary market while reusing waste. And finally, Philips Circular Lighting. So Philips offers light as a service. Interesting how everything can be as a service model these days, allowing customers to pay for lighting usage rather than owning it. This model requires finance teams to track recurring payments, assets, lifecycle, cost, and revenue. I'm sure there are many other early success stories, and if you're involved in anything, feel free to put it in the comments here on YouTube afterwards. Definitely love to hear about it as well. Because these early successes should encourage finance teams to drive similar successes in your own companies. Start by understanding your ongoing initiatives and see how you can help. So why is it that the circular economy matters for finance professionals? It's not just an environmental initiative. It's a business strategy with profound financial implications. By embracing this model, companies can unlock new revenue streams, reduce costs, and build resilience against future disruptions. Circular economy allows finance teams to take charge of sustainable growth. Finance professionals can play a key role in shaping a more sustainable future by adopting new metrics, collaborating across departments, and championing innovative models. As sustainability becomes a non-negotiable business imperative, the circular economy represents the next frontier for finance teams. Companies can align profitability with purpose by integrating circular principles into financial models and metrics. The question is no longer why adopt the circular economy, it's how. And for finance professionals, the time to act is now. Are you ready to lead the charge? As we're coming towards the end of the show here, Stephanie, do you have any kind of final advice for finance professionals on how to get involved with the circular economy?
Really, my advice to the finance professional is really to embrace this opportunity to drive the sustainability inside the economy principle and into the finance decision making. So this is really an opportunity for finance to be inside the business and to leverage the business.
Great stuff. So if you want to be a business partner, then maybe this is another way you can use to actually get involved and then start to drive some value creation. Stephanie, thanks a lot for coming here today, for sharing your insights and engaging also with our audience here. We definitely appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for inviting me.
We are at the end of this week's show. Next week, we are back where we'll have another guest. We'll talk about hyper-personalized financial management tools, especially for small and mid-sized companies. I think it's also going to be an exciting trend for 2025. So I hope to see you again next week. Hope to see you so engaged again. You guys, of course, including Stephanie today on today's show, are what makes this show special. So thanks a lot. Have a great weekend ahead when you get to it. And hope to see you.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting.